Now let's continue on and we'll focus on perfection. How does God do that? Well, in order to do it, you have to start out first with creation and then creation of man. But you can't have the creation of man unless you have everything on the earth provided for him before he begins. Okay? So God did that. Then you have to have reproduction. Nearly everything that God has made, plants, animals, fish, human beings, etc., they all reproduce. And reproduction is still a mystery to human beings. I know when I squeeze my lemon juice in the morning, there are lemon seeds from the tree that's inside the fruit. And it's right in the middle of it. Okay? So I could take that, plant it in the ground, and it would grow, and it produced lemons after it grew to a certain height. And would continue as long as you did what? Water it, fertilize it, take care of it, trim it, get rid of the weeds, etc. Okay? Okay. Then you have to have, with human beings, how are you going to make them so they're not robots? I mean, look at what people are trying to do today. They're trying to make robots. And they have this artificial intelligence, and they're warning that artificial intelligence is going to take over and destroy the world. I don't know if that's true or not. The way I look at the book of Revelation, I see a lot of other things than artificial intelligence. But you have to have a body, a mind, a heart, a spirit of man. You have to have free moral agency. Then you have to have God's laws, God's spirit, all based on the love of God. Then you have to have the superior sacrifice. And that superior sacrifice is Christ, who came in the flesh, God manifested in the flesh. Now, let's come to the book of Hebrews and let's see something about Jesus Christ, what he went through. He had to go through everything and more, and he, as the creator of mankind, had to go through everything and suffer for mankind. That's why he became human. Okay? Let's read it here. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. Verse 7, Hebrews 5. For in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Now, most people don't think about that. They think, well, Jesus came and it was so easy for him because he was God in the flesh. No, he had human nature just like we did. He had God's spirit more abundant than we. But he also was always in direct confrontation with Satan the devil and was heard because he feared God. In other words, there was that chance that he couldn't make it. Although he was his son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And likewise with us. We learn obedience from the things that we suffer. And there are difficulties and there are problems. You have mental suffering, you have physical suffering, you have suffering by watching other people suffer and all of that sort of thing. You have sickness, suffering, etc. But notice what all of that did. Verse 9, having been perfected. Now that tells you something, isn't it? Remember when the young man, Matthew 19, came up to him and said, good master? Well, you know that rich man was kind of like Job. See? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why call me good? There's none good but God. Well, there was God manifest in the flesh standing right before him, and he did not consider himself good because he had to carry human nature, the law of sin and death in him, in order to condemn sin in the flesh. Sin is not condemned in our flesh. It's condemned in Christ's flesh. So that through being perfected, it will be condemned as we grow and overcome. He became the author of eternal salvation to all of those who obey him. Isn't that something? What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you? Now here's another reason, chapter 2. Let's pick it up here in verse 10, chapter 2. Because it was fitting for him, for whom all things were created, and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now think of that. A lot of people say, well, why did God do this, and why did God do that, and why do human beings suffer? You can see that on one of the church at home. There's an atheist there condemning God because of this and that and the other thing. Well, that's why you have the New Testament. That's why Christ came, because he likewise suffered. For both he who is sanctifying and those who are sanctified are of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, in the midst of the church I will sing praise to you. Okay? And again, I will be trusting in him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, and human nature and all of that, in like manner, he also took part in the same, in order that through death he might annul him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now remember, annul. That means to make it as if it never was. Now that's quite a thing. We'll cover that a little bit later. So that he might deliver those who were subject to bondage all through their lives by fear of death. For surely he did not take upon himself to help the angels, but he took upon himself to help the seed of Abraham. And that's not the physical seed of Abraham. That's the spiritual seed of Abraham. That's us. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay? Let's see what else Jesus said of this himself. Let's come to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 13. Next one over. Luke 13, verse 32. Verse 32, and he said to them, go say to that fox, behold, and that fox is Herod, I cast out demons and complete healings today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So he conflated the two together, his work and healings and things like that, and his resurrection at the end. Perfected. Now then, let's see how he's doing that with us. Now we know in Psalm 34 it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. So if we look at the difficulties and problems and see what we can learn from them and stay close to God in prayer and study and understand them, then yes, we will also learn, because that's part of the perfection. Let's see how this develops. Let's come to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. Now we know that we have body, mind, spirit, heart, etc. Okay. And we receive the Spirit of God, and that unites with the spirit of man that all human beings have. And so the whole purpose of that, Romans 12, verse 1. Here's what we are to do. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? giving up the things of the world, giving up the things of self, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. What is your spiritual service? Love toward God, prayer, study, living God's way, and what does God do with His Spirit in our minds? He writes in the commandments and laws of God in our hearts and our minds. That is conversion. That is leading to perfection. And ultimate perfection will come at the resurrection. Okay? Verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to this world, but be transformed. Now, the word there in the Greek is metamorphos. Change. Okay? It's like in your mind. Bit at a time. Bit at a time. A bit at a time. By the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God will lead to what? Perfection. Okay? That's how God has done it. That's why we're made in His image and in His likeness. See? And that's why He's given us free choice. He doesn't want us to be robots. Could you think what it would be like to live in eternity with everybody being robots? That would be incredible, wouldn't it? Okay. Now let's see how this is done. Okay. Let's come to the book of Philippians. Okay. Philippians 2. Many of these verses we've gone over before. But here we have Philippians, the second chapter. Okay. Be renewed in your mind. How is that being renewed? Okay. Notice the steps involved here. Verse 1. Not only if there's any encouragement in Christ, and this is what we're talking about, so you don't get discouraged and get despondent because of the difficulties. If any comfort of love, and God will give you comfort of love. God will answer your prayers when you pray. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and isn't that something that God gives us of His Spirit so we can have fellowship with Him in Christ? That's an amazing thing. Now, it's not something tangible you can grasp because it's spiritual. Just like the law of gravity. Can you grasp the law of gravity? No. But how does it work? Well, it keeps you on the earth, right? Lets water run down, right? Everything else? Okay. If any deep inner affections and compassion fulfill my joy that you be of the same mind, and we'll see, that's the mind of Christ. Having the same love, we've covered that, being joined together in one soul, minding the one thing. In other words, what was it that we were to do? What is the one thing we were to constantly seek? Kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the one thing. That's the goal. And this is what you do when there are troubles, when there are problems. You have the goal that you're always going to. See? Let nothing be done through contention and vainglory, but in humility, each esteeming the others above himself. Who knows? Who knows? Let each one look not only after his own things, but let each one also consider the things of others. Now notice, let. That's what these things are. It comes from God, but you have to let. It's like the door. You must open the door to let someone in. Likewise with your mind. You must open your mind to what God wants and let this happen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself. Now think about, what have you given up? Well, what did Paul say? We brought nothing into the world, and we're not taking anything out of the world, right? What did you bring into the world? Well, your mom did all the work. Hey? He emptied himself. He gave up his divinity to become a pinpoint of life and be impregnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, she must have been some woman. I mean, think of that. See? So all women who think, oh, you know, like they have today, we don't want any children. Well, they found out that women who never marry and don't have children are some of the most unhappy women in the world. Why? Because you're going against the purpose of God. Let's go on. But emptied himself and made in the likeness of man. Now think about this. God in the beginning said, let us make man, what? In our image and in our likeness. Right? Male and female. Correct? Yes. And took the form of a servant, or in the Greek, doulos, which is slave. So that no one can say, oh, our ancestors were slaves and you got to give reparation for us. Get out and work. Quit being stupid. Every race, every people, down through the history of mankind, have been made slaves. Like I forgot who said it. He said, get over it. Okay. But being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And what did he say of this? He said, I have a commandment from the Father. I lay down my life and I have a commandment to receive it back. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. Now that's something. So you look at what Christ has done and then you stop and think, well, what have I done in my life? Okay. Well, God doesn't expect that because we're not Christ. But there are a lot of things that we can do, as we will see, that God wants us to do for that perfection. Okay? Now, let's come here to Colossians, the first chapter, just the next book over. Colossians 1. Okay? Let's pick it up here. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. So that was a tremendous thing that happened. And I think, a little sidebar here, what was going on in Jerusalem that last week, I imagine there were angels everywhere, there were demons everywhere, and it was being all carried out exactly as God wanted it to be. Remember what Jesus said when he first began his ministry and he was talking to Nathanael? And he said, what if you see angels ascending and descending from the Son of Man? That's quite a statement, isn't it, huh? So everything was prearranged to fulfill the prophecies. That's why Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. Remember how Jesus gave the instruction to keep the last Passover? They were coming into Jerusalem. He hadn't told them where they were going to keep the Passover, and he didn't want to tell them because Judas was going to betray him. And he didn't want them to come where they're keeping the Passover. So he said, well, I tell you what, you go in the city and you follow a man who's carrying a pitcher into whatever house he goes, there, prepare. So they went in. How did that work out? How did they know what street to walk on? And how did the man carrying the pitcher happen to come exactly where the disciples could see him and follow him? Probably angels have it all arranged. Okay? And they followed him, but they didn't stop and say, hey, what's your name? Where are you going? He just said, follow him. So they went and said, the master says, where's the room that I may keep the Passover with my disciples? I got it all ready for you. How did that happen? The angels were there making sure it was done. And I imagine all of the demons were trying to frustrate every one of these things along the line. Okay? Okay. Now, verse 21. For you were once alienated and enemies where? In your mind. By wicked works in your mind and motivating your actions. But now He has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before him. Absolutely nothing wrong. Okay, little sidebar, how that works. Remember Balaam? He wanted to curse Israel. So Balak got over there and God let him take the money and so forth. But God said, you only speak what I'm going to speak, what I want you to speak. So they had the sacrifices and Balaam got up there and started blessing Israel. And he said, I see no sin in Israel. Now think about that for a minute. Maybe those are not the exact words, but how many times did they rebel? How many times did they go against God? And think about when confronted with an enemy who wants to destroy him, God says, I don't see anything. So that's what it is also with the sacrifice of Christ with us. There is nothing against us. So that's why we, every day, we grow and overcome. Okay? Now notice, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all the creation that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a servant. Now that's a statement of what they knew of the creation and the earth, and that's a prophecy for the rest of all time down to the return of Christ. Amazing statement. And now I'm rejoicing in my sufferings for you. Think of that. He's saying, well, here I am. I'm rejoicing in prison. I don't know if he has chains on his wrist and on his feet or what. Maybe not. Who knows? And I am filling up in my flesh that which is behind of the tribulations of Christ. Why? Because Christ called him and said, Paul, you are going to preach the gospel. And you are going to suffer. And why was that? Because he so persecuted the church. Okay. But he rejoiced in that suffering. Now, verse 25. Of which I became a servant according to the administration of God that was given to me for you in order to complete the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. Now think of that. It'd be really interesting if you had a microphone and went out and did a survey, even right here in Hollister. Oh, you live in this nice little town of Hollister. Very nice little town, would you agree? Yes. What do you know about God? Why are you here? What is your purpose? You'd get any answer, right? But has now been revealed to his saints, okay, to whom God did will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? And what is the end of that? The next verse. Whom we preach, admonishing every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect. Perfect. Be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And of course, the finality of that is the resurrection. Okay, so he says, for this cause I also labor, striving according to his inner working, which works in me with power. And think about this. Don't you think the apostles are going to be absolutely astonished at the resurrection? When they find out how long it really was from the time that they died until the time that Christ returned and what happened to the church and how many were called. And it's going to be astonishing. Okay? That's why we're on the sea of glass for such a long time. We've got a lot to learn. And under good comment. Comment was made to be astonished concerning the Bible and how there were so many, and how God preserved it. And like I told you last week about Daniel Wallace, He said all the Greek manuscripts, this is just the New Testament, all the Greek manuscripts, there are over 10,000 known. And he said the difficulties and problems amount to about, 1%. Corruption, rather. 1%. He says, word order makes no difference. Misspellings make no difference. You can always straighten those out. No other book in the history of the world is as old and has as many copies available and is in many concurrent languages as today. Now, that's a testimony to the power of God, see? Because he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, what does he do? He gets it translated and sent out ahead of time, right? There we go. Okay? All right. Now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. This Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 are some of the most inspiring scriptures in the New Testament. So let me just suggest this to you. Whenever you get in a dump of depression, and like I said, I had part of that one day this week, watching all this nonsense of lies and things on the hearing. So what I did what we're doing now. I went to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 to get my mind on, where are we going? What is all of this going on? And really, when you look at her, and you look at her from the Word of God, while it may be gigantic out here in the world, it's really pitifully small compared to what God is doing in our lives. Okay? Well, let's begin in verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's a prophecy wherever in the world. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God gives to us. Now notice what God is doing and what God is preparing at the same time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Receiving the Spirit of God, understanding the truth of God, that's the beginning. What is the completion? The resurrection and all that takes place with that, right? With Christ, according as he has personally chosen us for himself. Now remember, what does it say in John 6? None can come to me unless the Father draw him. Right? So God the Father is actively working with Christ. And none can come to the Father except through Christ. So they work together. Before the foundation of the earth, that's when they had the plan. See? Foundation of the world. In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Where did we start? Right there, right? Having predestinated us for sonship. Now the King James says adoption. Not so. We have been begotten with the Spirit of God to be the sons and daughters of God, so it's called sonship. Okay? We are his children by begettal and by birth at the resurrection when we're born again. Through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he's made his object of his grace in the beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Look at this. All together, all put together right here in chapter 1. Redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. Interesting, isn't it, the way that he writes this, see? Not stupidity, not all of this nonsense that you see on TBN today. Having made known to us the mystery of his own will, Think of that. How precious is that? And how do we come by that? By the Spirit of God. By the will of God. By our yielding to God, by choosing to love Him and serve Him and repent and continue to humble ourselves before God in the way that God wants. See? According to the good pleasure which He proposed in Himself. Come right back, 2 Timothy 1:9. That in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, He might bring all things together in Christ, both the things that are in the heavens and the things on the earth. And the things in the heavens have to be reconciled. Satan has no more coming to the throne of God. Yes, in Him, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance. Think of that. Having been predestinated according to His purpose. Now, put all of those things together. The will of God, the purpose of God, the love of God, the calling of God, the sacrifice of Christ, giving us fellowship with Him, His Holy Spirit, all of these things together. Why are you depressed? See? There's no need to be depressed. But because we're human beings, we need to be encouraged, right? And aren't these the words of encouragement that we need in time of depression? Yes, indeed. Okay. Who is working out all things according to the counsel of His own will, that we might be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you, also after hearing the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now that's quite a thing. That's why blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unpardonable, because the Holy Spirit comes from God the Father to impregnate your mind and combine it with the Spirit of man and the Spirit of Christ all together, that we can develop the mind of Christ and all the things we're talking about here. That's a fantastic thing indeed. Okay. Come down here. Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. For this cause, I also, after hearing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ that is among you, and the love of all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. This is what we need. We're coming into difficult times. We're coming into more challenges against the truth of God than ever before. But He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and may the eyes of your mind be enlightened. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? It's one thing to see something. It's another thing to see and understand it mentally and spiritually. This is what he's talking about. In order that you may comprehend the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay. Now, let's come to chapter 2 for just a minute. We won't go over everything about coming out of Satan's way. Okay. Now, chapter 2, most important thing is right here in verse 17. Then we'll get to chapter 3 and we'll finish. Verse 17. Now when he came, he preached the gospel, peace to you who were far off and to those who are near. Ephesians 2, 17. For through him we both have direct access by one Spirit to the Father. That's something. So when you pray, God hears. Okay? So then you are no longer aliens and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens of the saints and are of the household of God, and you are being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building being conjointly fitted together is increasing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. All right. Now, let's look at a projection toward the complete fulfillment of God's plan as he gave here in chapter 3. And Paul says that this was given to all the apostles and prophets at the same time. And this was given so that it would be written down, and God knew that it would be transmitted down through time and history, so it comes down to us today. Verse 11. Chapter 3, Ephesians, verse 11. According to his eternal purpose, right back where we started, right? Which he wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith, the faith that God gives us. Okay? So then, I beseech you not to faint at my tribulations which are for you, which are working for your glory. So look at the positive things when difficulties come, like Paul. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now that's going to be a fantastic time when we see the fullness of this. That he may grant you. Now think about that for you, each and every one of you. Put your name there. He's talking you, not ye, which is plural you, but you directly, each one, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. So when that happens, then you can handle the difficulties and problems and see through it all. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, right back where we started, right? That you may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now that's to understand it as completely as we can now, but just think what it's going to be like at the resurrection. And just think. The universe is so great, there's no any measurement that any man can even come to give a reasonable estimate of it. They have found that when they have these high-powered telescopes out on satellites and they aim it at dark spots in the universe, when they get the photos back, it's filled with galaxies. Absolutely no end to it. And this is what God is calling us to. See? And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled, now notice this, with all the fullness of God. Now what is that going to be like? See? All of our aches and pains and things that come along because we're physical and wearing down and coming to an end, be all gone. Okay? The fullness of God. What's that going to be like? Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now to write these things that are absolutely unfathomable, and then to say he's going to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that is working in us. That's an astonishing statement. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. So that's quite a thing, brethren. So when we get down, turn to these two chapters, get on your knees and go to God, and pray and read and ask God to help you, and he will.
For our overseas offices, please check our website. www.cbcg.org